Praise God. You have your Bible turned to John chapter 16, if you would please. John chapter 16. You have a huge advantage. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Say that with me. That's my title tonight. You have a huge advantage. The Holy Spirit living inside you. Say it this way. I have a huge advantage. He's the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Praise God. You know that's true. Go with me to John chapter 16, verse 7, and asking the Lord, Lord, what should we share? What would you have us to share? We couldn't get away from this verse of Scripture in particular, but these verses that we're sharing with you. But this verse of Scripture has stood out to us again and again. And so we just yielded to the flow of what the Lord wants us to say, what we believe the Lord has for us to say tonight. Here in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said these words, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Turn back to John chapter 14, if you will. And read with me. I'm going to read out loud for you. John 14, verse 16. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." Look with me at John 14 and verse 26. 14 and 26. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you." Look at John 15 and 26. John 15 and 26. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and he will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning." And then read John 16 again, verse 7, John 16, verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage." Everybody say advantage. "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's an interesting piece of Scripture, a verse of Scripture. Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." He'd been with them for 3 years, and he's preparing to go back to be with the Father. And they are going to have to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight, just like we do today. And Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. It's to your advantage." You know, I've read this verse so many times, and I thought, how could this be to the disciples' advantage? If I'm listening to you say that, if I was one of the disciples and I heard Jesus say that, I'd probably be thinking, how in the world is you leaving going to be to my advantage? How in the world can that be to my advantage? How can that be better than you being here with me? And, you know, it's a little, I think as a kid and having to get a whooping or something, and then your parent tells you, how many have heard your parents say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you"? No, you did not. You stop it. Oh, man. We have such a good time at home. He is such a great kid, him and his brother. I hardly had to give them any spankings at all. They did have a few, but they're not very many. Not very many. He's always laughing and exaggerating. You be quiet. That's my son JP. Everybody's laughing at. But no, you know, when your parent tells you this is going to hurt me more, you more than it hurts you, you're thinking, okay, now that just can't be true. How is this going to hurt the parent more than the child? But Jesus is saying, if I go away, hey, it's to your advantage. I go away. If I go away, it's to your advantage. And man, you know, and then thinking about this, you know, he said, in John 14, he said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I won't leave you as orphans." And, you know, that's a bad feeling for somebody to feel like an orphan, for somebody to feel abandoned. And many times there are believers who feel like that. You might feel like that tonight. But I want you to know the Lord is with you tonight. And he said, "I will never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. And God knows how to be a father to the fatherless. He knows how to be a husband to the widow. God knows how to be a father to the child who doesn't have a father. Yeah. And, but I remember years ago, you know, it's Christmas time now and people are getting ready for Christmas already in the stores. Tony and I were in the store the other day, a couple stores, and they're already, man, they're in full Christmas mode. And, but I remember years back in the late 80s, I was raising my nephew. My nephew came to live with us, my niece and my nephew. And late 80s, you know, around this time of year, I would gather from the kids their Christmas list. They would write out a list for me, and I would get their list. And then I would go and, you know, go and find sales and go shopping and go get them what was on their list or whatever. And, all the kids had turned in their Christmas list, but I noticed my nephew hadn't turned in his Christmas list. So I went to him personally and I said, "Nephew, where's your list, buddy?" And you know what he told me? He said, "Uncle Bill," he said, "I don't want anything for Christmas." And I said, "Well, man, what are you talking about? Everybody wants something for Christmas." And he said, "No, I don't want anything for Christmas." He looked at me with those big eyes, those big sad eyes. And I could see the water in his eyes. He said, "I don't want anything for Christmas." And I said, "What's the matter?" And we sat down to talk and he said, "I miss my mom." His mom had left him. And he said, "I'm missing my mom." It's my sister. We hadn't seen her in years. And I said, "Oh, buddy, listen, your mama loves you and your mama's just trying to get herself together. And your mama loves you so much." And he said, "Uncle Bill, I miss my mama so bad. Why did she leave me?" And I said, "Oh, buddy, your mama didn't leave you because of you. She left because of her and she was going through some things and she's trying to get herself together." I could tell he was feeling like an orphan. And he said, I don't want nothing for Christmas. I want to see my mama. That's what I want for Christmas." And I said, "Well, buddy, that's impossible. You're asking me for something that I can't do." And he said, "No, Uncle Bill, no. You can pray and you can ask God." And I said, no. "Nephew, no, I don't know where your mama's at. We pray for your mom. We pray for your mama. I don't know where she's at. I can't give you that for Christmas." He said, "I don't want a gift. I don't want any gift. The only gift I want is to see my mama." And I said, "You're asking Uncle Bill for a gift that I cannot give to you." And he said, "Then I don't want anything." And then he told me these words that I'll never forget. And he said, "Uncle Bill, I know that if you will ask God to show you where my mama is," he said, "I know that God will tell you." And I said, no, I don't want to ask God that. I can't ask God that. I'll ask God other things, not that. I don't know where your mama is." And he looked at me with those brown eyes, just watery. And he said, "I know that if you ask God to show you where my mama is, God will tell you where she's at." And I walked away from my nephew with tears in my eyes. And I didn't finish our conversation because I didn't know what to say to him. But I did go and pray and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, you see my nephew. You see his heart. I don't know what to do for this boy. I don't know what to do. He wants to see his mama." And I remember rising on the inside of me became a desire to pray and to ask God to find, to reveal where she was. And I started praying, Father, you know exactly where she's at. This boy wants to see his mama. That's all he wants. And I remember faith just rising on the inside of me. And I said, "You know exactly where she's at. And Father, this boy wants to see his mama. In the name of Jesus, those hidden things will be revealed in the name of Jesus." You're a revealer. You're an unveiler. You are an unfolder of things that are hidden. And I know that if you'll reveal it, if you'll unfold it, then it'll be revealed. And I believe that she'll be found for the boy, for the sake of this boy. He just wants to see his mama. And I'll never forget what happened after that. My cousin Kim, she's a native of Bronx, New York. And she was on vacation. And she'd never been to Williamsburg. Anybody ever been to Williamsburg, Virginia? And yes, several of you know, it's kind of a older town and community. They kind of reenact things from the Civil War type era. Just lots of old antiquated customs and things and old shops and beautiful, just a beautiful town. Just a simple, beautiful, lots of reenactments. And anyway, my cousin Kim saw that somewhere and she just thought it'd be interesting to go there. She'd never been there and never been back there, but she decided to go through Williamsburg, Virginia and spend the night there. And so she goes to Williamsburg, spends the night there, and when she's leaving her hotel room, my sister, who we hadn't seen in years, walks right past her. My sister's working as a maid at the hotel. What I'm telling you, only God can do. I said, only a God in heaven can do what I'm telling you. And my cousin Kim turned around and said, Natalie, and my sister tried to ignore her. And she said, Natalie, I know you know who I am. I'm going to call your brother. If you don't turn around right now, I'm calling your brother. I'm calling your brother. I'm going to tell your brother where you are. And my sister turned around with water in her eyes and cried. And Kim said, I've got to call your brother. I got to let him know where you are. And when she called me and said, Cousin Bill, you're not going to guess who I found. And when she told me that she had found my sister, I said, only God could do that. And that young man was able to go, bought him a ticket, and he was able to go and see his mama, and spend time with his mama. Yeah, God did it. Won't he do it? Won't he do it for you? Oh, man. I said, he's a good God. And you may be sitting here tonight feeling like my nephew was, feeling lonely and isolated and by yourself. And so often this time of year, people get lonely. People get isolated. And especially people who are single. And a lot of time, married folk don't understand that. I mean, they understand cognitively, but not really experientially. I was single for 7 years. I told my sweet bride, I said, girl, I've been single 7 years. That boy, I said, girl, you are worth the wait. But a lot of times people don't realize what it's like to go through a holiday or a birthday or just life in general without somebody that you love. But we have a huge advantage tonight, and he is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and I. And for a few moments, I want to talk about the tremendous advantage that we have. Because when you are feeling lonely and when you are feeling blue and when you are feeling isolated and when you are feeling discouraged and when you are not feeling blessed and on top, you might be feeling cursed and on the bottom. You're not, but you might be feeling that way. But let me tell you, you have a huge advantage tonight if you're a New Testament believer, because God, the Holy Spirit, is on the inside of you. And the Bible says he is your divine encourager. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. John 16:7. He said, if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. And if I go, I will send him to you. You know, the more I've thought about this through the years, I've concluded this. Jesus was so obviously he's right. But, if he hadn't gone away, there still would have been one of him. And what would have resulted in millions and billions of others and only one of him. Yeah. And man, that'd make it hard to get an audience with him. Yes. If when I want to meet with him, he's already at your house. You want to meet with him, but he's already at somebody else's house. We want to meet with him, but he's over in Switzerland. It would be so hard even to get to him. Oh, but he said, I'm going to go away and then I'm going to multiply myself in the life of every single believer so that you're going to have a huge advantage because I'm going to be dwelling on the inside of you through the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, and you will have instant access to me any hour of the day or night, and you can ask me any question according to the word, and you can take a full benefit of all of your rights and privileges in Christ. And it really won't matter what's going on in your life if you'll find my precious promises. The Bible says, whereby has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4. God is saying, listen, I am available to you at your beck and call. Oh, isn't it good that we can have an audience with the King any hour of the day or night? We have a huge advantage. I have one simple point tonight. Take advantage of the Holy Ghost who's on the inside of you. That's my only point tonight. Take advantage of the Holy Ghost who's on the inside of you. I dare say you and I are living below our covenant privileges. I dare say that you and I are living below all that is available to us in Christ. I dare say tonight you and I are not living up to the full level of our potential, of all that Christ has done, of all that Christ has provided. He said to you and I, be anxious for nothing. That's a huge advantage. But in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard not just your heart, but your mind in Christ Jesus. Your heart and your mind. Oh, that's a huge advantage. Not having to worry in this life is a huge advantage. You may be a believer tonight, worrying about something, fretting about something. You're not taking advantage of the covenant rights that Christ died to give to you. The mighty Holy Ghost is on the inside of you and I. We have to take full advantage of all that Christ has done for us. Go back to John 14. Oh man, because man, he said in verse 16 that I quoted, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another helper. I told you this before, the word another means one of the same kind and type as me. He wasn't just saying he'd send anybody to help us. He said, the one I'm going to send is of the same kind, of the same status, of the same deity as me. Amen. Well, then the helper would have to be God. Jesus was God. And if the helper was of the same kind, of the same deity, he'd have to also be God. And of course, we know he is God, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. He said, I'll ask the Father, he will give you another helper. And we said that word helper, what's it mean? It means paraclete, paraclete. What does that mean? It means comforter. It means advocate. It means intercessor. It means counselor. It means consoler. It means divine encourager. It means strengthener. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. Somebody said, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have that kind of help in my life. I don't have that kind of help in my life. You need to get your mind renewed. I said, if you'll get your mind renewed with the word of God and get your words renewed with his word coming out of your mouth, oh, you'll sense the divine encourager. You'll sense the divine strengthener. You'll sense the divine helper. You'll sense the divine intercessor. You'll sense the divine comforter. You'll sense the divine consoler. You'll sense the divine encourager right there on the inside of you. And so often someone is sad and blue when God, the Holy Spirit, is right there on the inside of you. And so in the Passion Translation, that word helper, it says Savior. It says Savior. I will ask the Father and he will give you another Savior. And that means one, listen, it literally means this, one who delivers from the curse. So when we see that word helper and go back in the Aramaic, the original language, it means this, one who delivers from the curse. Is anybody here glad to be delivered from the curse tonight? Galatians 3:13 says Christ redeemed us from the curse because he became a curse for you and I. Aren't you glad? Anybody glad that he became our curse? We don't have to put up with the curse. Why? He took the curse for us. You're not cursed, you're blessed. Look at somebody and say, I'm not cursed, I'm blessed. Look at somebody else, tell them, I'm blessed. Yes, the reason that you are so blessed is because Jesus became a curse for you and I. Oh, aren't you glad? Oh, happy day, happy day. I said there's a huge advantage of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, when I worked for FedEx all those years, they had so many different policies and things. And at that time, I don't know that they still do this, at least not the way they did it back then. But at that time, man, you could jump seat, which means you can fly free anywhere that the company flew. Oh, I flew everywhere on a FedEx plane. Even if my family was flying commercial, I flew FedEx just to save the cost of a ticket a lot of times. Because you could just fly free. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat in the jump seat And I'd ask other employees through the years I worked for FedEx, and I'd say, do you ever take advantage of that benefit? They said, oh, to fly on a company plane, to fly jump seat? No, I never did that. Do you do that? I say, all the time. I do that all the time. Back then, you know. And that was a great benefit. I took advantage of that. Yeah. Tony works for an airline. Man, what great benefits. We in our time flying together this year, we've mainly flown commercial, but just because of schedules and so forth. But we've also taken advantage of that. Man, what a great benefit. Yeah. And so we have to take advantage of what's been provided for us. And Jesus said this in John 16:17, talking about the Holy Spirit. He abides with you and will be in you. He abides with you and will be in you. Look at verse 21, John 14:21. Jesus said this, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. He's a discloser. He's a revealer. The mighty Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he's a discloser of things to come. He's a revealer of things that are hidden. Now we have to walk by faith and not by sight, and that means God won't show us everything. Wish that he did, but the Bible already says we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so there are times in all of our lives when there are things that we don't know, and we just have to walk by faith. Said, I wish I had an amen there. And Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. And so there are some things that God will reveal. But we have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost who lives on the inside of us. We have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. We have to be yielded to the inward witness, Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, Psalm 32:8, Proverbs 20:27. We have to be sensitive to the inward witness. But Jesus said here, I will love him and will disclose myself to him. He's a discloser, the Holy Spirit is. The mighty Holy Spirit is a discloser. The mighty Holy Spirit is a teacher on the inside of us. Look at verse 26 again. But when the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Yes. Oh, the mighty Holy Spirit, he's a discloser. He's a revealer. He's a teacher. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, he is. And not only that, the mighty Holy Spirit, he's a guide. He will guide us. Look at 16:12 or 16:13. John 16:13. I'll read 13-15. John 16:13-15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. And all that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. He'll disclose it to you. Yeah. I remember years ago when I was working for FedEx, and I had a dream, and in my dream, how many know, you know, when you have a dream, just because you have a dream, that don't mean it's from God. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, if you have a dream, you better compare your dream to the Word of God. And if your dream varies from the Word, then you need to get rid of that dream. I said, the Word is our standard. I ain't getting a big enough amen there. People have all kinds of goofy type experiences. They have all kind of goofy visions and goofy stuff. And then they say, well, it's come from God. Well, Satan operates out there in that realm of the spirit. And God operates in that realm. Satan's not where God is, but in that realm, in that realm. Now, he doesn't operate in the Holy Spirit, obviously. Satan operates with demon spirits, demonic spirits. But because things come out of that realm, now God is operating with the Holy Spirit who's on the inside. That's why we have a great advantage. But sometimes people who are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not yielded to the Holy Spirit, they just hear something that came out of that realm and they don't check it out and they don't compare it to the Word. The Word is the litmus test. And so they just accept anything that they heard. Well, the enemy can say something to you. And so we have to be, we have a great advantage, but we have to be yielded to that advantage. And so I was working for FedEx and I had a dream. And in the dream, we were up on this huge elevated platform, almost like a helicopter pad. And there was a long, I don't know, just a long ramp. And it was filled with people as far back as the eyes could see. And they were marching. These people were marching, just like that tramp, 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 brother. These people were marching. And in my dream, I am watching it. And pastor is on one side of this elevated platform and Brother Hagin's on the other side. And every few moments, somebody else comes to the platform and pastor has them on one side, Brother Hagin has them on the other side, and they said, now go. And then those people are going like to the four corners of the world. And then somebody else comes up and they're saying, now go. And then I'm watching and I'm in that line. And I'm getting closer and closer, and I got up there, and Brother Hagin grabbed my collar and said, no, 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 not you. You're staying here. I didn't know what that meant or if that meant anything. But in the days to come, God's a revealer. And I was trying to leave here, trying to leave Tulsa. And the Lord showed me, I don't want you to leave. You're supposed to stay here. There's a reason. There's a purpose. And he didn't tell me what the purpose was. Just told me I needed to stay. It pays to obey the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we're always trying to figure him out, trying to figure out every exact little detail, every little dotted I and cross T. But if we just take a step of obedience, just take the step that he gives you to take. Oh, I wish I had an amen here. I wish I had more than two amens. If you just take the step that he gives you to take. And sometimes we get a bit like, we get that Peter syndrome. You know what I mean by that? In the latter chapters of John, where Jesus and Peter are walking and talking. And Peter, he looks over at John, and the Lord is telling Peter about his life. And Peter looks at John and said, well, what about him? What about his life? Bill Ray translation, mind your business. We need to take the step that God has given for us to take. And sometimes, you know, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. Those old lamps only shined enough light for you to take the next step. So when someone had a lamp or a light, it shone just enough light so that you could take the next step. When you took that step, you got more light. Some people say, well, I ain't taking no steps. Show me the whole path, God, and then I'll decide. No, you better take the step that God has given you today. He's a revealer, the Holy Spirit. He's a discloser. He's a helper. I've said to you before, I remember my sweet mama. She wasn't saved, she was very new in the Lord. And she was crying one morning when I woke up. I was home from college. My mama was crying. She couldn't find her glasses. She told me she'd looked all over the house. She'd looked for 3 hours all over the house, and she couldn't find her glasses, and she'd spent the last of her money on those glasses. And she feared that she had left them somewhere and that they were gone. And she was crying. And I got up from my bed, and I heard her crying, and I went and held her and said, Mama, Mama, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she said, I can't find my glasses. And I said, Mama, God knows where your glasses are. We can pray. And she said, oh, there you go again. There you go again. You don't have to worry. You know, you do have to worry about some stuff. I said, Mama, you don't have to worry about anything. And I said, give me your hands and let's pray together. We prayed. I prayed something so simple. Like, Father, thank you for comforting my mama. Thank you for showing her she doesn't have to worry. Thank you for finding her glasses in Jesus' name. Something about that long. And then I just stooped down, you know. But I was still looking at my mama, and I just stooped down like that and put my hand under the bed. And I don't know why I did it like that, but I'm looking at my mama, and I just stooped down there and put my hand like that and pulled out her glasses. And I'll never forget my mama. She backed up from me. And she said, if you weren't my son, I would not believe that. And she said, I looked under that bed on my hands and knees more than once. And I can tell you those glasses were not there. And she said, how did you know? She said, why didn't you get down on your hands and knees and look under the bed? I said, Mama, I don't know. She said, how did you know to put your hands right there? I said, Mama, I don't know. All I know is you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about glasses. You don't have to worry about your light bill. You don't have to worry about your house payment. God has provided a way. We have such an advantage as believers that you no longer have to worry. That's what I know. God, he's a revealer. God, he's a discloser. God, he's an unveiler and an unfolder of things. And we need to be sensitive to him because he can tell you, stay right there in that job. Don't leave that job. Everybody may be up and moving. But the Lord can reveal to you on the inside, you better stay right there. Or the Lord can tell you when it's time. But he's a revealer and an unfolder. And what we need to do is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And 1 Corinthians 14:2 says that whoever prays in the Spirit is not praying unto men, but unto God. Because nobody understands him in his spirit. He's speaking mysteries. God understands him, but he's speaking mysteries between him and God. God has provided a way for you and I to communicate directly to him. And whatever you need tonight, you have the mighty Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Somebody says, I need strength. I need strength. Oh, but the mighty Holy Spirit inside you will rise and say, I will strengthen you. I will give you the strength to do what you have to do, to say what you have to say, to work where you have to work, to go through whatever situation, circumstance, or scenario. Someone says, I feel so alone. But the divine encourager on the inside of you says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'm right here. Jesus said, Jesus told the disciples, you'll all scatter from me. In just a little bit, you're going to all scatter from me and leave me alone. But I won't be alone because my Father is with me. And you are not alone because the Father is with you. And somebody said, I feel so depressed. But the divine encourager on the inside of you is saying to you, I will lift you up. I will help you up. I will strengthen you. I will help you in every way. What do you need tonight? What's going on in your life? I don't know, but God knows. And I know this, if you'll yield yourself to the great helper, if you're a believer tonight, if you'll yield to him, if you'll renew your mind, you got to renew your mind. Get in the word. Renew your mind. Change your words. Make your words consistent with God's word. Oh, you'll sense ministry from the Holy Ghost. You'll sense Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God says, I will counsel you with my eye on you. It doesn't get any better than that. But then he says, but don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check. Otherwise, they won't even come near. What's God saying in the word? Listen, I want to instruct you. I want to teach you. I want to counsel you with my eye on you. That's my promise for every believer. How? It starts with the inward witness. Romans 8:14 and Romans 8:16. Inward witness of the mighty Holy Spirit. But then he says, listen, don't be like a stubborn horse or mule. We got so many stubborn people today. They're sweet people, sweet, stubborn. We got so many sweet, stubborn people. But we need to be, but listen, we need to get rid of that stubbornness. Turn that stubbornness into a yieldedness, and God the Holy Spirit will help you. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored in the time that we've had to share along these lines. We have a huge advantage, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we know the mighty Holy Spirit, he's a comforter, he's a consoler, he's a counselor, he's an advocate, he's an intercessor, he's a strengthener, he's a divine encourager. Oh, he's a protector. Thank you for the role in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And where we have fallen short, where we have failed to live up to our high covenant rights and privileges, Father, forgive us. Where we've failed to yield, to be yielded unto him, the mighty Holy Spirit, Father, forgive us. And where someone has been calloused in their conscience, oh, Father, as they repent, speak to them again. Oh, yeah. Speak to them again, Father. Someone who wasn't yielded or someone who even disobeyed what you said, speak to them again. Encourage, uplift, strengthen, console, comfort, encourage, and build up, Father, as only you can. Thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit. We have a huge advantage. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending the mighty, mighty Holy Ghost to live and reside right on the inside of us. We give you the glory and the honor. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Where would we be without the mighty Holy Ghost? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Help your people today in any way they need it. Heal people every place they hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, you need help today. You want prayer? Come on, our prayer counselors are coming down here. These anointed men and women, anointed of the Lord. Give them all a big hand clap. Don't you appreciate them?